First, I'd like to say we have nothing to disclose. What didn't come out in the introduction is that I'm a child life specialist, and people are probably wondering, why is somebody who's a child life specialist presenting on adults with intellectual and cognitive disabilities? And you're right to wonder that. And the reason I got involved in this is because of the misconception that was widely held with staff in our hospital was that adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities were simply children in adult bodies. And so if one was admitted to the hospital, the first thing was call Child Life. We need crayons. We need a stuffed animal. And clearly that was not the answer, and clearly I didn't feel that we were the people that were trained to meet the needs of this patient population. You probably remember in 2002 the report of the Surgeon General's Conference on Health Disparities in Mental Retardation, now called Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, set the goal, improve the quality of health care for people with mental retardation. And in our hospital, that hadn't happened. And that's kind of interesting because we do have an ADA committee, and they are very active, but they do not look at cognitive and intellectual disabilities. So, first step was to assemble a multidisciplinary team because we realized that there was nobody in the hospital really that had all the skills needed to address this very broad issue. And so first was people representing nursing, particularly neurology, psychiatry, and community and mental health nursing. Neurology and psychiatry because although we found that obviously, intellectually and developmentally disabled adults were appearing all through the hospitals, there was a greater preponderance of these patients in neurology and psychiatry. Child Life Services, special education teacher. We are fortunate enough at Rush to have a full-time special ed teacher who works with children on psychiatry and in pediatrics. However, her training does prepare her to work with people of all ages. Representatives from social services, training and organizational development, which is part of our HR department, somebody from our patient satisfaction committee, medicine, and the coordinator of volunteer services.
So, for this committee, I'm Sarah Ailey, and I'm in the Department of Community and Mental Health Nursing at Rush. We decided to gather some information. So one was to consult with some experts in the field. Another was to survey some other hospitals and what did they do. And pretty much we found out that, as far as we know, we're the only sort of committee like this. But that other hospitals gave us some information, including, I think, that having talked to Robin said she had talked to some Child Life Services at other hospitals, and they had similar requests, but simply just really didn't deal with it. And we conferred with community agencies who often have patients admitted to Rush. We included family representatives on the committee. We coordinated with the hospital ADA task force, which is very active. The Rush is building a whole new medical center and is desiring to be kind of an exemplar on access for the new hospital and is really working on universal design. And we conducted an employee survey. So the employee survey went out to employees who would, pretty much anybody who would have some direct patient care. So nursing, all the therapy departments, PTOT, speech therapy, food and nutrition, the transport people, admitting services, volunteer department. It went out pretty extensively. We actually got quite a good return on that. I want to say we had 200 and some returned. I actually didn't look at the figures right before I came. And what we found out was that 30% of respondents indicated they had regular contact with patients having intellectual or developmental disabilities. We were actually somewhat surprised at that. And we found, one of the things we found is that the issues involved were broader than was initially thought. So some of the issues that were raised by employees was they had, for patients, people who were particularly the clinical staff, they felt they got inadequate social histories on patients. And often the adult patients with intellectual disabilities have some difficulties understanding and communicating, and from the end of the clinical staff, related to inadequate social histories and other information, they also felt they really needed more information on how to communicate and how to understand the needs of patients. And again, related to that, that caring for this patient population is often time-consuming. People raise specific issues on not knowing how to assess pain levels. And that discharge planning is a big issue. Not infrequently, someone may come into the hospital and who also then has elderly caregivers, and maybe what's brought them into the hospital is now making it very difficult to go home, and being able to access any other kinds of services is difficult. Not knowing what to do with guardianship and informed consent and who is the guardian, and certainly people worried about how to facilitate processes in a hospital that are often scary, anxiety-producing, and working with people, making sure to try to have those go as smoothly as possible, calming upset patients, and really focusing in then on both patient safety and the staff safety related to that. So after having collected some of the information, we sat down and discussed our mission, which all good committees should do. And we came up with this is our mission statement, to foster awareness, sensitivity, and skills related to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in order to promote partnership in the healthcare experience. And for us, that operative word was partnership. So we divided into three work groups. One is really working on building and changing the culture at the institution, which is a culture that's in transition in many ways and building on strengths that already exist, building an administrative structure that would help to facilitate the best patient care, and gathering data and external support. So among the things that we've taken on are some staff training materials and in services, working on some patient education materials, looking at issues of, as we are an academic medical center, and there's a College of Nursing, College of Medicine, there's OT, there's other specialties, working on training of our students and integration of existing tools that we have into this process. So in the past month, October is Disability Awareness Month, we've conducted a number of activities that built on our previous work. One was the Human Resources Department conducted what they called a conversation on disability, which is these conversations are sort of participatory democracy. Whoever comes are the right people. Whatever you discuss, it's the right topics. People set their own agenda and come up with their ideas and reports. Three big issues came out of this. One was the need for improved communication and the individuals who they are really feeling that needed to be worked on, how to really communicate with patients, with this patient population. Two was the need for better student and staff training. And third was the issue of how could the medical center employ more people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and feeling that would help to improve the culture there. And we've had two in-services for staff on understanding disabilities and promoting positive healthcare experiences. One was specifically on how to promote a more positive healthcare experience, and another was an interactive in-service on some educational materials that have been developed. We are proceeding with some department-specific in-services. And on Friday, we will be having a program called 51 and Falling, the State of Intellectual Disability Services in Illinois. Illinois is 51 of 51 states in funding for community-based services and has had a recent large budget cut on top of that. And there are some other programs that are going on in the medical center regarding de-escalation that we've been encouraging people to also attend. So, I went backwards. Okay. So Robin's going to talk some about the step-by-step preparation materials that we've developed for visual learners, and we've developed a program on pre-hospitalization tours for people with intellectual disabilities, and some of the other work that's been going on, specifically at a child life department.
Okay. Well, I collaborated with our special education teacher who brought her expertise of really how to communicate best with people with a variety of different intellectual and developmental disabilities, and combining that with the child life experience of preparing patients for medical procedures. As we all know, it's anticipated stress is much easier to deal with than something that's a surprise, and that doesn't mean we're going to like what we're going to experience, but at least we're prepared for it. And so we know that it's very important and very helpful to prepare people for experiences, and you know, we do that for pediatric patients, we do it for labor and delivery patients, but we weren't doing a good job for this patient population as well as many others. And so we looked at the procedures where we had heard that they were having difficulties, and specifically that was MRI blood draws in the lab, and placing EEG leads. And so we got our digital camera out and started photographing everything step by step, including here's where you're going to change your clothes, and here you're going to lay down, and here's where you're going to be alone. And then added some very simple, basic language, one or two words to explain each picture. And so we looked at not only each step, but stress points in the process that we know that are particularly upsetting, whether it's a loud noise or something, or suddenly being alone in a room or any of those kinds of things, and try to incorporate that into the tool. Then we started also offering pre-hospitalization tours. We were currently offering them for pediatric patients, and I know labor and delivery offered them. And there's a lot of research that supports that people that are well prepared for hospitalization, actually a better outcome, shorter length of stay, better post-op recovery, and so on. So this kind of seemed like an obvious thing to do, but also recognizing that it would not necessarily be the best to include them on tours with people with other issues and concerns. So we're offering that now. And this will be tours of any area in the hospital. It's not just surgery, as was previously offered, but any place that might be upsetting, so that the patient can come and experience, see where they're coming before their anxiety level is up to here and they're experiencing distressing things as well. And then we also created some personal communication boards. Right now, we are working with a 47-year-old man with Down syndrome who is also deaf and has testicular cancer. And the first attempt at administering chemo did not go well. So fortunately, they called in our team, which is just kind of a fledgling team, and trying to look at ways to facilitate this process. And one of the things that we provided was a personalized communication board. So it was personalized in terms of what he's going to experience, and so that we had pictures that represented those kinds of things. Anything that he may want or need from us, ranging from ketchup, which he likes on everything, to 12 blankets on his bed, which he also likes. And so that we can try and personalize and meet his individual needs. Another thing that we developed is called a first-then board that is particularly effective with some delayed and autistic patients, which is basically looking at what is a reward to this patient and then what we need them to do. So first you need to take off your clothes, then you can play with your video game or something like that. And so that every time a step is completed, you take it off because they're all Velcroed, and okay, that's done, and you have a visual concrete representation that that's done, and keep switching the pictures so that you go through the whole process that you need them to do.
Okay. So a couple of other things we've done, there's also been the nursing department developed an addendum to the nursing admission form, looking at what some of the things nurses wanted to know, like how does a patient communicate, do they have a guardian, what kinds of things do they like, what might they use to develop to get rid of stress. And this has gone into a form which has been piloted. Nurses feel they do have more information on how to work with these patients, as do other services who would look at that information. And it's not yet been incorporated into our new electronic admission records, but we're hoping that that will happen. That we've acquired an inventory of sensory materials for distraction and relaxation that are available in varying departments. And we are hoping to work more on obtaining more administrative support, identifying other key players, working with interpretive services who do provide, for instance, sign language interpretation, and really also looking at some of the regulatory and systems issues that are beyond us, such as funding for services, and really trying to also to now work with the outpatient department on some of these issues. So, and we're working on gathering more data, and our future goals are to develop a transdisciplinary developmental case management team, the volunteer that could work with patients who may have very complex needs. The volunteer department is working on developing a special buddies program where trained volunteers could go in and work with patients who are in the hospital. We're working on some staff training programs, a resource file of issue-specific articles. A huge issue for us is it's pretty much impossible to get patient and family satisfaction data. The HCAP, for instance, has no questions on it that would allow you to look at this specific population. And Press Ganey, which is also used by many hospitals, does not either. So pulling out patient satisfaction data is pretty much next to impossible. And really looking also at some of the curriculum in our schools. So any questions?
No, we're saving questions.
We're saving questions to the end.